My name is Gary Wilson. The name of the show is Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle. Disclaimer time, Your Brain in the Cybersex Jungle is informational only. It contains adult themes. If you need medical advice, please see your doctor. The central theme of the show is how internet pornography impacts young men, their experiences, and the science behind what they are experiencing. Now you can visit www.yourbrainonporn.com for video presentations, FAQs, many articles, links to forums or support. If you want to learn more, it's a secular site, commercial free, can't buy anything. Today we are going to discuss withdrawal symptoms when someone quits using porn. Now this may sound fantastic to listeners, but many guys who quit experience withdrawal symptoms that are somewhat similar to people who quit hard drugs. Again, surprising. In essence, you have two types of general reactions, or guys do, mostly guys. We have some women who show up. Two types of reactions that occur when people stop using porn. Some users feel better immediately. So perhaps porn was affecting them, but it didn't cause what one would call addiction-related brain changes. They were not addicted. Why they feel better, it's hard to say, but they do. The ones I'm going to focus on are those that experience from mild to severe withdrawal symptoms when they quit. So to get a better understanding, let's just look at the general concept of addiction. One way to assess addiction is through a simplified assessment called the 4 C's. The 4 C's are number 1, compulsion to use. Number 2, continued use in spite of adverse consequences. Now that's the major sign of addiction. 3, the inability to control use. And finally, craving, either psychological or physical. These symptoms may be accompanied by withdrawal symptoms, but they don't need to be accompanied by withdrawal symptoms to indicate an addiction. It's not necessary. However, many heavy porn users are quite surprised at the severity of their withdrawal symptoms, and as I said, they can overlap with some of the symptoms experienced by those who quit cocaine or alcohol. So just to give you an example, here's a quote from one guy. Here's what I'm dealing with: irritability, fatigue, inability to sleep. Even sleep drugs don't help much. Trembling, shaking, lack of focus, shortness of breath, unquote. So that's one guy's experience. Here's another one. Mood swings are like a pregnant 13-year-old girl. Severe, unbearable loneliness. Tension headaches, mild muscle aches, stiffness all over. A feeling like pressure on my teeth, social paralysis. I have anxiety about nothing in particular. I have panic attacks, which hasn't happened before. I'm always feeling cold, even in front of the fireplace. Intense fear of anything and everything. Crying about everything, unquote. So those are just a few of the symptoms that person experienced. It sounds pretty wild, but many guys do experience them. Here's the key to understanding this. Recent research in the last 5 years or so on humans and even animals has revealed that behavioral addictions such as food addictions, pathological gambling, video gaming, and even internet addiction, these involve the same fundamental shared brain changes that occur when someone has a drug addiction. So the anatomy and the chemistry of the brain changes in very specific ways, no matter what the addiction is. Now, some of these brain changes include something I call desensitization, or a numb pleasure response, and that's based on dopamine primarily. Your dopamine, which fires up the reward circuit and gives you that buzz and motivation to go for things, it declines, and so do the receptors for dopamine in the reward circuit. So it leaves a person less sensitive to normal pleasures, hungry for any dopamine-raising activities. That's desensitization. Another one is sensitization, which sounds the same. It's like a super memory of pleasure, like a Pavlovian memory, and it rewires nerve connections that cause the reward circuit that just go into overdrive, just buzzing at the prospect of using an addiction. This is where the cravings largely come from. This is a Pavlovian memory, which means it's really, really strong and can stick around for an entire lifetime, even though it can get weaker. Also, another change is that the frontal part of the brain, that is our impulse control center, actually becomes smaller and weakens and has slower metabolism. So this can also happen. And finally, a very important one, which is associated with many of the withdrawal symptoms, is the stress circuits in the brain become really dysfunctional. They do a flip-flop, which I'll get into in a moment. So there's key events that occur when someone stops using. So what I just described were key events that occur when someone becomes addicted. The first key event is basically the brain's reward circuit, which is already low, goes even lower. It's like it goes to sleep and the dopamine goes lower. Perhaps even serotonin goes lower. A second thing that happens is the anti-reward system. Yes, we have an anti-reward system that actually makes you feel bad when you're under stress or maybe when you're sick. And it goes into overdrive, releasing stress hormones that are floating around in the brain. We'll get into that. And finally, the third effect is that the craving neural pathways actually become stronger a few weeks after you quit, which is what often sends people back into their addiction. They become stronger and louder, so when they're activated, they really say, go do it. Now, let's just do an aside and discuss addictive drugs, because I am not saying that all addictions are exactly the same. I'm saying that they share very specific brain changes that cause one to crave and overuse and continue to use in spite of negative consequences. For example, we've seen movies where people are withdrawing from heroin or alcohol, and that can be more severe. And why can that be more severe? Well, for example, alcohol and opioids and cocaine will have additional effects. Alcohol will actually reduce something called GABA and it will increase something called glutamate. This can cause symptoms when you stop that are so severe that they may be life-threatening. That's alcohol. And certainly we've seen movies of people going cold turkey to try to withdraw from heroin, or of course people withdrawing from narcotics and pain relievers. And what occurs is if you continue to use opioids, for example, you'll actually lose receptors all over the body for your body's own natural opioids. Yes, your body makes molecules similar to morphine, to heroin. Some are called endorphins, some are called opioids, and they have multiple functions, not just reducing pain. They affect digestion. That's why when you take narcotics, you become constipated. They affect the immune system. You have receptors for opioids all over your immune cells. That's why you often get itchy if you take too much. They affect respiration, heart rate. They affect even many other hormones, how much are released, like your sex hormones or thyroid hormones. So they have many effects. So if you take opioids for a long time, they actually reduce all the receptors on all these organs throughout the body. And when you immediately withdraw the opioids that you're taking, my God, all your systems just go crazy. So addictive drugs can have additional effects leading to different and more severe withdrawal symptoms because they can affect the entire body and other hormones. However, you still have what is shared by all addictions. Here's a few more quotes from guys comparing porn withdrawal with their previous experiences of substance withdrawal. I battled a few addictions in my life, from nicotine to alcohol and other substances. I've overcome all of them, and this was by far the most difficult. Urges, crazy thoughts, sleeplessness, feelings of hopelessness, despair, worthlessness, and many more negative things were all part of what I went through with this porn thing. It's wicked. It's a wicked, awful thing. I will never have to deal with it ever again in my life, ever, unquote. So here's a guy who went through other drugs, and he's finding porn just as difficult to withdraw from. Here's another one. I realize now that this process is actually most similar to quitting marijuana. Your mood really changes throughout the day a lot, and you can start off with a great morning and have a bad day, or have an average day, or have a terrible day and start off terrible, but then have a good night. It's somewhat hilarious and strange because I'm having marijuana-type withdrawal symptoms, yet I'm still smoking marijuana, unquote. So here's a couple of guys who are having really bad times when they withdraw from porn. Hey, let's jump back to the shared events that occur when all addictions are stopped, including behavioral addictions. Okay, number one, as I said before, it's a further decline in dopamine. The reward system really goes low, crashes in essence. And then there are the rise in brain stress hormones. One is called norepinephrine, which is commonly called adrenaline, but it's a bit more complex than that, norepinephrine. And the other one is one that maybe you haven't heard about called CRF. That's the initials. And they rise within the brain. Now, whether they affect the hormones in the blood, it really depends on many factors, so I won't go into that. And another thing that happens, number three, is 1 week after quitting, your reward center sprouts new nerve cell connections to create cravings for you to use. Okay, now let's look at the common withdrawal symptoms that people with porn have that are also common with many other addictions when you remove the addiction. Certainly cravings, that's normal. Anxiety, restlessness, irritability, insomnia, fatigue, lethargy, lack of motivation, headaches, muscle aches, poor concentration, depression, social isolation, and loss of libido. Now that's common with porn addicts and is quite unique to them, and we'll discuss that in a moment. All of the above symptoms could actually be caused by lower dopamine levels. In fact, in studies on humans where they can block dopamine and lower it over several hours, they will complain of all the symptoms I just described. Now let's go through them again. Like cravings, certainly when your dopamine is low, that's one of the most powerful initiators of cravings. And what they've also found out is anxiety. Anxiety disorders are also associated with low dopamine. In fact, some doctors are using dopamine-raising drugs, low levels of amphetamine, to raise dopamine to help with anxiety disorders. Certainly, restlessness and irritability are also associated with low dopamine. Interesting enough, insomnia, even though that might be associated with a rise in stress hormones, sleep is partly controlled by dopamine. Fatigue, that's another symptom. And yes, dopamine is really behind motivation and energy. Ask anyone who's taken uppers or cocaine, they certainly get a big buzz of energy. Headaches and other aches, yes, again, back to dopamine. Dopamine actually modulates pain along with endorphins and other neurochemicals. Depression. Three new studies in the last year on rats have shown that dopamine is central to depression. They could turn depressive behaviors on and off immediately in rats by affecting dopamine. Poor concentration. ADHD drugs like Ritalin or Adderall, they increase dopamine, so low dopamine is associated with poor concentration. The urge to isolate socially, again, social anxiety disorders are also associated with low dopamine, and doctors sometimes give drugs to increase dopamine levels for that. And finally, loss of libido. Dopamine is what powers libido. So just lowering dopamine can have so many different effects because it's involved with so many brain and bodily functions. On top of that, we also have a rise in brain stress hormones, CRF and norepinephrine. Now these can intensify the above symptoms that I described, but they also have their own symptoms. Stress starts in the brain. So maybe you saw a snake, or maybe you just lost your job, and the brain releases something called CRF. And in several dominoes, it eventually affects the adrenal glands, and the adrenal glands release cortisol, and cortisol floats all throughout the body and gets you ready to handle stress. However, when CRF goes up, it can have really devastating effects on the brain long term. It makes you really, really feel bad if it stays up. It causes anxiety, sleeplessness, irritability. You can't concentrate. It can cause depression. So it alone is very powerful. It's so powerful that in experiments on many addictive drugs, they have actually blocked CRF from being released. And the animals stopped using the drugs that they were addicted to. Or, on the other hand, when they withdrew the drug and again blocked CRF from being released, these animals didn't go through withdrawal symptoms. So it's very, very important. So the loss of dopamine going lower and then this rise in stress hormones in the brain is really a double whammy that can really hit you hard. Now, on top of those two neurochemical changes, there's a structural change that occurs when someone quits. Addiction involves what are called sensitization and growing together of nerve pathways. Little branches grow together. These are Pavlovian pathways, and they blast the reward circuit, creating buzz, an urge. Basically, like Pavlov's dog, you're salivating for porn or whatever your addiction is. And it's really an unconscious pathway. It's like riding a bike, and it can be awakened later on, years later. That's why relapse can occur at any time. However, again, they do weaken. So the physical little branches that connect these pathways actually sprout more and more branches, which makes them stronger. And this starts about 1 to 3 weeks after stopping an addiction. So it creates a super sensitive addiction pathway. So if you have a trigger, let's say an alcoholic walks by a bar, they're 3 weeks after quitting, and they smell alcohol, and they hear the rattling and the noise of people drinking, it can really, really fire up that urge. Or let's say you're a porn addict and you come home from work and this is your usual time. That's a trigger. That's a cue. And it's like, oh my goodness. And you're 3 weeks after your last time and the urges are more powerful than when you were actually using. So that's really, really a nasty effect of all addictions. It's part of what sends people back to using, is this combination of feeling worse, far worse, due to lower dopamine and higher stress hormones, and then the craving pathways, the sensitized pathways, have grown stronger. Really a bad combination. That's what makes quitting an addiction so difficult. But I do want to emphasize that these pathways do get weaker, the neurochemicals do balance themselves, and people often seem to be getting a lot better after about a month. So if you just stick with it, things do get significantly better. There's one particular symptom that I mentioned in passing that is unique to recovery from porn addiction. We call this the flat line, the dreaded flat line. And what is that? It's a loss of libido. Someone's penis is non-responsive. That's a nice way of saying it. And everything in life is a bit gray. Women don't look so good. It's just very strange. Now, this symptom is the one that often drives guys back to using porn. They stop using porn, and they go, oh my God, I'm losing my libido. If I don't continue to use, I'm just going to shrivel up and I'm never going to be able to have sex again in my life. So I've got to go back to using porn. But it will actually fade. Here's a couple of quotes from guys who experienced the dreaded flatline. After a few days of brain tantrums, cravings, I went into flatline for a few weeks. Basically, I felt totally indifferent different about girls, sex, everything. A little voice from the porn beast nagged at me in the back of my mind, but mostly I just didn't care. And my penis was very lifeless and small. It was like someone just pulled the plug on whatever machine provides my sex drive. No libido at all. Unquote. Now, these are guys in their early 20s, so this is not normal, let me tell you. Here's a quote from another guy, age 22, after he quit porn. I've noticed the dead penis syndrome whenever I try to quit porn or masturbation. After about 4 to 5 days, my libido is absolutely shot and my penis shrivels up to nothing. It's terrifying, actually. Unquote. And we've seen reports of this over and over and over again. It's really hard to say what causes this. I don't have a real good explanation. Certainly, you could blame it on low dopamine and the increase in stress hormones, because both really affect sex drive. Low dopamine, low sex drive, increased stress, less sex drive. The problem is, this can start a week into the process, maybe several weeks into the process, and it can last for many weeks. Or it can show up maybe a couple of months, 3 months, 4 months after someone quit. This flatline period can. So it's really hard to get a handle on what possibly could be the cause. Perhaps the fact that porn is different, it's different in that porn addiction can hijack the innate sexual circuits. It affects deeper primitive brain structures such as the hypothalamus, which really control male sexual behavior and erections. But again, no one knows. Here's another quote. Recovery is not linear. This journey has been extremely tumultuous. I felt awesome after the first week. The next 2 to 3 weeks was a terrible flatline. I felt as bad as I had in years. Depressed, lifeless, anxious, tired, etc. I literally felt like a come down from a cocaine or Adderall. Certainly all dopamine related. The key is not to get distressed or disillusioned by these flatlines. My last flatline came around day 70 when I thought it was over. Nope. The good news is that after every flatline, I reached a new level of improvement. I came out stronger each time. Just think of the mood swings as a sign of real changes taking place inside your brain. Unquote. So that was one guy's experience. Here's another one about the flatline. After 1 week, I felt amazing. After 14 days, I was in total flatline. I had the terrified turtle head going on. I knew it was natural and I was glad something was happening, but I was not happy about it shriveling up and looking so darn small. Also, I was emotional. I cried at everything. I was bored all the time. Unquote. So again, this is a very unusual symptom. Only occurs, as far as I know, when someone gets off of porn. So that means that it is affecting other structures that are not affected by normal, by other addictions. So just to summarize, some guys who quit feel better immediately. Probably they had little or no brain changes. That's our guess. Others, however, experience mild to severe withdrawal symptoms. This clearly indicates addiction-related brain changes, and it just shows that one can, in fact, become addicted to porn, no doubt. Other thing to remember, recovery is not linear. Symptoms can come and go. They can become more severe, less severe, so expect that. Another thing is many experience the so-called flatline, and this occurs in only one addiction that I know of, porn, and it can last a long time, and it can return and come and go, which is very distressing. And finally, cravings are worse before they start to diminish. That's what's to be expected through 3 weeks, 4 weeks, so you just have to deal with that. Now, you can visit yourbrainonporn.com. We have 3 very long FAQs covering withdrawal, covering the mysterious flatline. We have a 45-page PDF with guys describing many withdrawal symptoms so you can see the fun things that they're experiencing. Thanks for listening to Your Brain in the Cyber Sex Jungle.